We have been taught today that our past controls our present. Many forms of psychology and psychiatry believe the most important thing you can do is delve into a person's past, discover their childhood, their parenting, their various influences in their lives, and that puts together a composite picture that explains who this person is in their entirety. When we read about somebody who went and did some horrific act, took out a gun and shot a whole crowd of people, the first thing people do is ask questions about his past. How did he grow up? Who were his parents? What school did he go to? This shows that in our world there's an understanding that the past is certainly formative. However, for many people, they think that a person's past determines how he or she acts in the present. They think that your past is in some ways created who you are and it's set in stone. What does the Bible have to say about our past? About pain in the past, guilt for wrongs done, grief that we carry with us, calamity that affected us, abuse that was done to us. How should a Christian respond to his or her past? In this series, we're considering biblical living, how to respond to life issues like anger, worry, forgiveness, pressure, stress. And in today's program, in the next two, we're going to consider the past, how we should respond to what we've done and what was done to us in the past. Now, there are two wrong ways of approaching the past. The first is to think and act as if the past determines how you act today. It forces you to act in a certain way, that you are locked into certain patterns because of your past, that your past imprisons you. A second and opposite wrong view of the past is that your past has no effect on you, that somehow we can just skip over it and say, well, what's done is done. Let's just move on. Let's forget. Let's just pretend it didn't happen. Well, that's the equal and opposite error. The past neither determines how you act in the present, nor is it irrelevant. We have scriptures that teach us that a person's past doesn't determine his or her present behavior. One of the most encouraging is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. There Paul describes the Corinthians and who they were. He says, that do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here is somebody who was one of those things, and now Paul says he's washed, sanctified. That is to say, his past does not determine his present behavior. Similarly, in Romans, Paul says in verse 17 of chapter 6, God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. The point here is that the Lord Jesus can change any person regardless of his or her past. What's really important to grasp is that the past, in terms of a present reality, does not exist. It doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it's not happening now. What's happening now is the consequences of the past. That exists. Thoughts about the past are being done right now. Behaviors and attitudes in regards to the past exist, but the past itself does not exist in our experience. And when you understand this, that the past is no longer a lived reality, this can move you from being a victim of your unchangeable past to being responsible for dealing with your present thoughts and actions in the present regarding the past. You cannot change the past. The past is unchangeable, but the past is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. What you have now is only your present response to the past, and that becomes your lived experience. How you react to the past is the reality you're living in. Focusing on the past, treating it as if it's a present reality, makes change impossible for you because you cannot change the past. And it's not the past that needs to be changed. It's your present that needs to be changed. It's you right now who must focus on your responses in this moment. And this is the truth that the past does not determine your present. Brooding over past problems, allowing that which is gone and is no longer with us, only makes you miserable in this moment. So that's that first error countered, the idea that your past determines how you act. But that second error is that the past doesn't affect you at all. But the past is influential. The right way to say it is that the past has an effect on you, but it doesn't force you to do anything. It's influential, but not determinative. What are some ways that the past can possibly influence your present thinking and behavior? Well, we can list 6 things from Scripture. The first of those is the types of sin you're tempted to do. 1 Peter 4 verse 3 says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Well, there Peter tells us that the life of believers before they were converted, before they were saved, has an influence. It can affect which way you're tempted. Once certain tastes have been developed, once certain experiences have been, well, then there is a memory. There's something that has been scratched. Something has been opened up. And so your past can affect your present life in terms of sins you are tempted towards. Related to that, secondly, is long-term sin habits. Jeremiah 13 verse 23 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil." It is possible to become accustomed to doing evil. That is, habits set in. And sin habits become very hard to break. Something that we've done in our past for a long time is not easy to give up. A third way that the past can influence the present is bitterness towards people. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." What someone's done to you in the past may cause you to have a lifelong settled anger towards that person. And unless you deal with it biblically, it poisons everything else in your life. Very similar to bitterness towards people is bitterness towards God. Some people look at their past and they look at what's happened to them. They reason that God was present and in control, but he didn't stop it. And so they become bitter towards God. They don't even want to countenance belief in God. They don't want to go further in their Christian life. Or if they do, they do so with a kind of a hard heart, a cynical place where they've shut off certain things. We see Job getting bitter towards God and saying in chapter 3 verse 20, "Why is light given to him who suffers and life to the bitter of soul?" Your past can influence you by tempting you to be bitter towards God. A fifth way that the past can influence people is there can be disruptive consequences of the past. Bad decisions made in the past can lead and bleed into the present. Scripture teaches that life is cumulative. As Galatians 6 verse 7 says, "God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." In Proverbs 1 verse 31, we read that people will eat the fruit of their own way. And so you can have made really bad decisions in your past that are still with you, and you have to deal with them now. You cannot pretend they didn't happen. And the sixth way that the past can influence the present is consequences of unconfessed sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy." In Psalm 32, David talked about his conviction. He says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality drained away." This is guilt. People living with huge regret and shame. And as they are in fear that their sin will be exposed, or as they live in guilt for what they've done, that affects their present. Now, these are six ways that the past can influence the present. But again, that is not the present itself. It's simply effects of the past. The present is given to us in this moment, and we can choose to make right responses right now. Now, one of the ways we do that is we can begin to think about the past in very specific ways. To break the past up into distinct categories helps us think rightly about it. And the first way to do it is to ask whether your past is a question of sin or suffering. If you look at your past and what is haunting you or what is still with you is a question of you having suffered, then that's one category. Perhaps somebody sinned against you. Perhaps you went through a painful trial. But all in all, you were not sinful in what you did. You were not guilty. You suffered. The other category is in which you sinned. You did wrong. And so, as you look at your past, there's regret and there's shame and there's guilt. Well, those are the two ways we can think about the past. A past in which I suffered, a past in which I sinned. But then we take each of those and we see that we can have responded to those in one of two ways. I can either have responded rightly, or I can have responded sinfully. So I could have been innocent in the past, but I can still respond sinfully to my past in the present. Maybe I was abused, and so there is no sin in that. But I may choose now to hate and to be filled with malice and bitterness towards the abuser right now in the present. And that means I'm responding wrongly to the past right now. Similarly, I might have sinned in the past. I might have been the one who committed some act of immorality. I can respond rightly to that in the present, or I can respond wrongly to it. A wrong response to my own sinful past is to perhaps live in despair, or to feel I should sin more so that I don't feel as guilty, or I cover it up and I do nothing about it. What this does is it gives us four possible categories. There's a past in which you suffered and you responded rightly. So, for example, you were abused, you experienced calamity or slander, crime or disease, but then you responded rightly. You forgave people, you maintained a right view, you had hope, you had a right view of God. That's category one. Category two is you suffered in the past, but then you responded wrongly. Again, there was abuse, calamity, slander, disease, crime, but you chose to respond with bitterness or revenge. You became cynical and fearful or filled with misplaced guilt. This was a wrong response. Category three is you were guilty in the past. You sinned. Premarital sex, adultery in marriage, cheating, crime as the offender, negligence. And then to that wrong past, you responded rightly. You confessed your sin. You made restitution. You accepted God's forgiveness and whatever the consequences and restrictions you needed to embrace. That's the guilty or sinful past where you responded right. That's category three. Or category four is where you were guilty in the past, you sinned, and then you responded wrongly to your own sin. You fell into a deep despair. You tried to cover it up. You lived in guilt. You started blaming others. You turned to self-destructive responses. You lived in fear. Now, all of these are wrong responses, and that's the fourth category of the past. Now, thinking about the past this way helps us in the present. We get to ask, what was my situation? Was I a suffering victim, or was I an offending sinner? And since then, what have I done about it? How am I responding to my past right now? Am I responding rightly, or am I responding wrong? Well, to begin with, let's consider both the innocent past and the guilty past when the person responded properly, rightly, biblically. Of course, these are more rare, and so we can deal with them more quickly. Most of us, unfortunately, respond quite badly to our past, so we'll spend the next two programs considering how, whether you suffered or whether you sinned, what has happened if you've responded sinfully to your past, and what you can do about it now. So, to begin with, let's consider the category where you suffered in the past, and then you responded rightly. How would you know if you responded rightly? Well, here's six questions to ask yourself. You suffered. That is, perhaps you were abused, or you experienced calamity. Somebody slandered your name. Someone harmed you in crime or in violence, or perhaps you experienced a tragedy, a disease. Here's six questions. 1. Did you return evil for evil? 2. Did you develop bitterness towards God? 3. Did you develop an unbiblical view of people? For example, somebody who has been betrayed, and so he no longer trusts people. A woman who is abused as a child, who begins to nurture a hatred for men. Your experience of crime from somebody from another race, leading to racism towards all people from that race. That's an unbiblical view of people. Question 4. Have you developed an unbiblical view of yourself? For example, a sexual abuse victim who starts saying, I'm dirty, I'm worthless, I'm shameful, no one could ever love me, I'm unclean. Very often, when a person has been sinned against, especially with sexual sin, there's false guilt. People feeling guilty or unclean because of what a sinning person did to you. But God does not hold you guilty for evil done against you. And if you start to get an unbiblical view of yourself, that's wrong. Question 5. Should you confront the person who sinned against you, and if so, have you done it? An example would be sexual abuse reported to the parents and the police, or perhaps other sin following the pattern of Matthew 18:15-17. And question 6, if you confronted the person who sinned against you, and that person asked for forgiveness, have you granted it? Luke 17:3-4 says, if your brother sin against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Have you done that? Answering these six questions help you consider whether you truly did respond rightly to suffering. Often enough, these questions might reveal that we haven't been as innocent as we thought we were. But if we've answered these six questions and we've said, no, I didn't return evil for evil, I didn't develop bitterness towards God, I haven't developed an unbiblical view of people or of myself, I've confronted the people who sinned against me as necessary, I've granted forgiveness where it was asked for, then such a person should be commended for responding rightly. And they should also be helped to see what attitudes and practices and truths helped him to respond correctly. Because they're going to have to keep those responses going, because memories of the past will always be there. And it's possible for you to respond rightly at first and then slip into wrong responses. This brings us to category two. In this case, it's the sinful past, the guilty past, where you were the one who did wrong, but you respond rightly to your wrong behavior. An example of this would be Simon Peter. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. But then in John 21, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And he allowed Peter to, as it were, undo his denials with public confessions of love for Christ. And so Peter's denials were a real failure. He sinned, but he repented and he sought restoration. And that enabled him to not spend the rest of his life in regret and shame. He really could have tanked his own ministry, sidetracked his entire life. But by dealing with his past, with confession and repentance, he accepted Christ's forgiveness, he took responsibility for his poor choices, and he responded rightly. Paul himself spoke this way. He said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Paul didn't focus on his failure. He focused on God's mercy, grace, and patience. He focused on the fact that Christ came to deal with people just like him. So, if someone has sinned in their past and they are handling it rightly, they're to be commended that they're turning to God for grace and asking for forgiveness. Of course, they should be encouraged to make sure they've asked for forgiveness of all the people who were affected by that sin. And if there are lingering consequences of the sin, does the person need help to deal with them? We should also ask if there's any restitution that needs to be made, something that needs to be fixed, put back, restored, replaced. Restitution. And then, again, there needs to be a habit of mind. We need to ask this person, what do you do when your past sin comes to mind? Because it will come to mind. The memories will return. And again, the response is to be done now, in the present. Maintaining right responses of depending on God's grace, asking for forgiveness, seeing your sin as settled in Christ is crucial for the person not to lapse into a sinful handling of the past. There we have two categories: the suffering past, where the person responded rightly, and the sinful past, where the person responded rightly. Next week and following, we'll consider, how do we handle the suffering or sinful past where we've responded badly and sinfully? And again, there are things that we can do so that our past, though influential, does not determine our present. Instead, we can choose to live in the present biblically, living in the freedom and the power that Christ gives us for this very moment.